Please rise.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is a portion of the Holy Gospel, and I'll read that portion for our hearing again. The 11th chapter, according to St. Luke, beginning at the first verse. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation." These are the words of our Lord Jesus. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, prayer begins with asking and ends in listening. Such a foolish statement. It's actually a statement that is based on a religion of man's ideas. Hence, the statement that you just heard is a false religion and a false statement. Such a statement does not confess that our loving Father, that He has taken the initiative. You just heard it. Prayer begins with listening, continues in adoration of what God has done for you. And never, never does prayer end. So this morning, as did a disciple, we ask Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray." Yes, Lord, teach us to pray. Here at Zion, most of you know this, that our children, they know the Lord's Prayer. There was once a young lady not long ago who told me that one of her school friends was very, very upset. So I said to her, "Why is she so upset?" And she said, "Well, because at her church, she has to stand and say the Lord's Prayer, and she's never been taught the Lord's Prayer. She had to learn it all on her own." How sad. How sad that we have people who say that they are Christians, people who say that they are Christian clergy people, and they refuse to teach the Lord's Prayer. At Zion, may that never be the case. For we know here at Zion that we will never teach anything that is outside of this book. We will teach your children this book, as you are now hearing preaching from this book. We will always teach them the creeds and the prayers. We will always teach them the importance of God's word in their life. And we also will teach them Luther's Small Catechism. These are, my friends, tools that they need, weapons that they need, the sword of the Spirit that they need in this life. For in this life, out there in the world, they don't have a chance all by themselves. They must be armed and they must be ready. And here at Zion, may we always, always do this. May they always continue to come to Sunday school, moms and dads. May you continually bring your children to Sunday school. Adults, may you come to adult Bible class, where you will hear the truth of the word, and you yourself will be armed and ready for battle. Yes, that's a plea. It's a plea for you to prayerfully consider the importance of Saturday or Sunday morning at 9 a.m. I know that there are many who are gone on vacation. There are many other things in the morning that occupy you, like chores or work. I understand this. But that doesn't apply to all of us. So I ask you to prayerfully consider. Consider the importance of what you are doing at 9 o'clock each Sunday morning. If your children are here, why not remain? If your children aren't here, why not bring them and you remain? And if you have no children, what's keeping you? What's keeping you from coming to hear the Lord's word taught to you? Lord, teach me. Teach me to pray. Lord, teach me. Teach me your word. For that's what he wants to do. That is his great desire, is to teach you so that you will hear and believe and be saved. So this morning, Jesus teaches us. He teaches us to pray. And he begins, my friends, with a command. I know in the English it's not quite that way, is it? But Jesus says, when you pray, say, and the word that Jesus uses for say in the Greek is legete. Legete is an imperative. It's a command. You pray. In other words, he's given us no choice. It's a, maybe you can pray or maybe you don't want to pray. No. It's you pray. And this is how you begin. You begin by saying, Pater, Father. Dearly beloved, you are not orphans in this life. As a baptized child of God, you are a child of a father. And that father is a perfect father. He is an imperishable father. He is a loving father, a merciful father, a forgiving father. Even if your earthly father is none of these, your heavenly father is and will always be such, for he is God. Your father is the creator of heaven and earth. Your father desires that his children come to him and speak to him, to give to him all your hurts and your pains and all of your burdens. Why not give them to him? He already knows you have them, but he wants you to speak them so that he can hear. And then, when he hears, he does have mercy, and he will act. It's not that our prayers make him do anything. It's because of his love and his mercy and his grace for each and every one of you that he hears your prayers, and he answers, and he acts. You see, your Father has such a great mercy. A mercy that is unfathomable for us. We know no one. You know no one in this life who has mercy such as this. That God, your Father in heaven, sent his Son to die on a cross so that you would not have to die in your sin and in your trespasses. So that you would not be sent to hell. That's the love of the Father that you have in heaven. He sent his only Son to die for you. Therefore, you are children of God in your baptism. And my dear ones, that's exactly who you are. You are a child of God. I remember oh so well that for me, there was a time in my life that each Saturday morning was trampoline day. That's right, trampoline day. It was the day that my two boys would come running in, sometimes early on Saturday, and they would use me as their own personal trampoline. You know what? I really, really miss those days. For I know that when they came in and jumped on me and Mom, using us as their own personal trampolines, that they wanted to be near us. They wanted to be held by us. They wanted to hear from us how much we really, really loved them. And that's why I miss those days so much. Parents, it's so sad that our children must grow up. But they must. Now, I'm not saying that God is your personal trampoline. But I am saying this, that your Father desires the same. He desires to hold you, to tell you how much he loves you. He desires that you speak with him, that you talk with him, so that he can really, really tell you how much he loves you. So then Jesus says, Agios Theto, to onomasu, sanctify your name. In this petition, Jesus is asking, he's telling us that literally, Father, set your name apart. Make your name holy. Make your name hallowed. Reminds us of a commandment, doesn't it? You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. What does that mean? We should fear and love God, that we do not curse, swear, use satanic arts, lie or deceive by his name, but call upon it in every trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks. Remember that? That's what literally Jesus is saying. That we are to keep his name holy, as he himself is holy. In other words, God is not our boyfriend. God is not our trampoline. God is a holy and just God who loves you so dearly that he wishes you to pray to him, to talk with him, and to revere, to honor, to fear his name. Thus, when we pray these words, as you will soon, very soon do, we are asking the Father to holify. I know that word is not in the dictionary, but essentially that's what Jesus is saying. Holify your name among us. You see, his name is the name that is above every name. His name is the only name by which you can be saved. Jesus is teaching you and me that there is only one God and there is no other. There is only one way to salvation and there is no other way. Our prayers are reserved. We, his children, we are to pray to our Father, and that Father is the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And there is no other God. Praying, my dear ones, to anything or anyone else reminds us of another commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. What does that mean? We are to fear, love, and trust in God above all things. The word all I emphasize because that's exactly what is said in Scripture. There is no other God in heaven, below the earth, on the earth itself. There is only one God, and his name is Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the one true God in three persons. Yahweh, Jehovah, whatever you may want to call him, he's still the same. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the one true God, your Father and your God. El Theto He, Barceleesu, your kingdom come. Literally, make your reign come down to us and come upon us, and not just tomorrow. Not just yesterday, right now. The kingdom is here, dear friends. And we live in the kingdom right now. So when the kingdom is upon us, doesn't that tell us something very important? If there's a kingdom, there must be a king. And that king is the creator of the universe, your Father. How? When does the Lord your King come to you? How is he here now? You know, what we do in the Lutheran Church are not cold ritualisms. We aren't just going through the motions, dear friends. May that never be the case. When you pray these words, your Father is actively doing what you request of him. When you stand at this altar, he is present to serve you. Body and blood, the kingdom is here. When you pray the Lord's Prayer, the kingdom is here. When you hear preaching that is from the Bible, when it's based upon God himself, upon the Lord himself, you are hearing the word of God, and he is present. He is here right now. The kingdom has come, and the kingdom is coming to you. Therefore, when we pray this petition, we are praying that church, true worship, true service will happen. Isn't that obvious? That the Lord hears your prayers? Ton arton, hemon to, epi usion, dido hemen, to kath hemeron. The bread of us daily, give to us each. Give us all that we need, O Father, all that we need in this life to keep us alive, and to give it to us daily. Now, there is something missing here in the English. Give us this day our daily bread. The word need is not there, but it is here in the Greek. In other words, we are praying to our Father that He give us all that we need in this life. That doesn't mean that we will receive everything we pray for, because there are some things in this life that we don't need, because they are a want. God doesn't act on our wants. He only acts on our needs. He opens His hand and He provides for us from the bounty of the earth. All good things He gives to us. He will never give us a scorpion or a snake. He will only give us the things that are good for us and the things that we need in this life. Kaiaphas, Haman tastes harmatias Haman, and send away from, forgive us all our sins. In this petition, we pray to our Father that He will send far from us, as far as the east is from the west, that He will send our sins away from us, that He will literally divorce us from our sins. God hates divorce in marriage, but in relation to our sins, we ask Him to divorce us from our sins. So you are praying that the Father will sin far from you, that He will forgive you all sin that you have committed against Him, so that your sin may never, ever again rule in your life. Yet we know, each of us know, that we are sinful human beings and that we cannot keep the law. You cannot hallow God's name on your own. You cannot have other gods besides Him, because we all unfortunately have other gods. Even though you may not think you have other gods, you do. Yet in our confession, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Therefore, in our confessions, we are holy and just before Him because of the blood of the Lamb that washes away all your sin. Now get ready for this. In the English, it's just not there, and it's so sad. Kaigar atoi. Ephemin panti epheloite. Also indeed, we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. There's a shift in language here. When Jesus is saying these words, they are in the past tense. But now suddenly, Jesus comes into the present. This is a present tense, and it's very, very personal. Father, forgive me of all my sin. Therefore, right now, forgive the debts of everyone who has sinned against me. It's not that I'm forgiving, it's that the Father is forgiving them. Each time you pray this petition, dear one, you are asking your Father in heaven to forgive everyone who has wronged you and not yet has made amends to you. This is God's work. This is His good work. This is pure gospel. That's forgiveness. And that's His work. You see, this petition isn't some synergistic petition. It's not the idea that you are doing anything for God at all, for there's nothing that we can do for Him. Actually, God is doing all the work here. Here He is forgiving you. That's what you pray for, and He does it. And there you're also praying in the present tense that you, God, Father, forgive everyone who has wronged me. For that's what a Christian does. So now we close with the final petition. Kai me esene keis hemas eis perosmon, and lead us not into temptation. As we pray this petition, we are agreeing with our Father that we are surrounded by temptation. Who would disagree? Many of you are being tempted right now. Probably being tempted that you shouldn't be listening to what you're listening to, but you are anyway. Yet, it is not our Father who tempts, God never tempts anyone. Rather, we are asking him to preserve us from temptation so that we will not act on it. And my friends, for you to be tempted is not sin. The problem is that when we are tempted, too often we act on it, and that is sin. You see, we are agreeing with our Father. We are agreeing that he is to forgive us of our debts, our trespasses, our sins, and also those who have debts against us. We are asking our Father to send our sin away from us, that he alone provide all that we need in this body and life, and that he alone as the King bring his kingdom into our life, that he bring it bare into our life, that he bring it into our presence, that he is the one true God, and that only his name and his name alone be hallowed, that he is a Father, that he is our heavenly Father, a Father who is loving, merciful, gracious, and yes, forgiving. Lord, teach me to pray. And he does even now, dear ones. He is teaching you right now how to pray. For he declares that in your prayers, you are heard. And as he hears your prayers, he announces to all of you the forgiveness of all your sin. And therefore, your sin is forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.